We welcome you this evening to Bethel Baptist Church in our evening worship service. And once again, we will be tonight finishing the book of Revelation chapter 13, a very dramatic chapter where God reveals the last events of this world as is written. Meantime, we're going to praise the Lord first, and we're going to enjoy the testimony of God's saints through the hymns that they wrote as a testimony of their faith. The first hymn will be 255, Blessed Assurance. Father, we come to you in the name of our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And this is the very last hour of the day for us after a whole day of activities in praising your name, proclaiming your name, studying about your name. And now we close as we sing praises to you and study in the book that revealed to us the wonders of the last moments in this world. Father, we pray that we may rejoice together, that we may be able to say we have the presence of God within us, and we know a little bit more about you and a little bit more about what is coming ahead. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet at this hour, and we pray that your blessings be upon their life as they're listening to the songs and as they follow the scripture with us and the book of Revelation. Thank you, Lord, for being a faithful God to us. In Jesus, we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, we enjoy to take your requests and your number as we feel the evening service. And you tell me what number will be the one that you enjoy. Brother Plica, yes?
Number six.
Number six, all right. Number six. If we do not know it, Brother Plica will come and direct it. All right. Here it is. Number six. Come thou, Almighty King. Boy, for this evening study.
Thank you.
Say it again. 279. All right. Here we requested and we sing then. A child of the king. Nothing less. Nothing less than a child of the king. 279. Stanza number four, a tent or a cottage, why should I care? They're building a palace for me. And we arrived at this vacation place unknown to us. We expected a home, a vacation home place, you know, some rooms and things and so on. And then you walk in into a palace. So it took me about an hour and a half to just go around the palace to find out what it really was. I can't believe the Americans hold palaces like that closed for the whole year, waiting for the money to devaluate in the country and then to raise and make money. And some of them makes $1 million on a house, and some of them $300,000-$400,000. But I think that's the top of the market. But palaces, I still impressed of what I saw. We walk in, we turn on the light and say, wow. You know, and you're in a hallway, and then it's a big arch. And then you walk over there in sofas and things. I say, wow. I say, wow. You know, I can believe people hold things like that for vacation. Actually, it's an investment, and they hold it close so that somebody can come in, decorated by the best decorator architects in the area. And so I don't want to go to the bed. It was so well done, you know. It was so well put together. It is amazing. Compare that with the palace that God has for us. It's nothing, you know. What God has for us in heaven. I thought, you know, we'd be surprised like this. I think that's the way we're going to be when we arrive there and we see the greatness and the best of the best right there in the presence of God. All right? What is your next hymn, Shelley? 476. All right? The school is doing okay, Shelley? Everything okay? Really busy. How many units are you taking? 17. You have to be busy. 17. I only took one 17 when I was in seminary. Almost I get crazy, all right? It is tough, brother. 17 units is tough. And I think the complete units are 12. And after that, you know, 12 is a year. 17 is good. All right. You've tried to finish this year. Oh. You moved to a four-year school. Okay. All right, 417. It is glory just to walk.
Thank you. This is encouraging him.
God. All right, another hymn to your Mary. 132, talking about the Lord and His coming. This is a beautiful expression of that. 132, Christ is not dead, but He lives. All right? Heart of the human. Now, Brother Ralph, give us a report on Pacific Hill this afternoon, the service of our church. Yes. Okay, Craig, what do you spoke in? Was your turn to preach today?
Yeah, so we preached out of Matthew chapter 6.
Okay. The kingdom of God and all the junk of this world will be added unto you for trouble. That's my translation of the each time I look to that verse, Matthew 6:33. Remember when we came to this country, we came with six luggage in 1965, all the world, because we're going to come to North America, close to the North Pole. So we have wolves and wolves and wolves. And when the inspector, you know, had to put your visa and all the paperwork comes sealed, and the inspector will open in front of you, and the judge will be there to admit you in the country and so on. Have all the papers, and they said, well, we have to open the luggage one by one. And here is sweaters and things. All the way. And the guy said, where are you going in the United States? So, Alameda, California. Alameda, California? He said, yeah. He said, and what is this wool for? He said, well, it's North America. And they laughed so hard, North America. You know, that was he said, no, it's not here, not so called. Really, it's not so called like my own country in South America. I guess Northern will be called in Minnesota and all these places, but not here in California, thank God. That was the first objection. The second objection is the guy, look on it, and we have Miriam and Raquel. I have Miriam with me, and Raquel has her doll. Her doll was given by my aunt to Miriam from Germany. It looks like a little baby. Exactly right. And so Raquel had that. He said, I have all the papers. They are admitted, but the baby cannot come. And pointing to the door. I said, no. No, I said, well, we give it to you. No, no, I said, we don't want the baby. I said, where are the papers of the baby? I don't know. I said, they must be in Germany. Oh, this is not yours? No. I said, it was given to us. Oh, how come they give you a baby? No, they give me a baby, give me a doll. And the doll talking Spanish. That was something, you know. I tell you, that was something, you know. And we were getting out of the plane, and one of the shoes came out, and the stewardess came to Raquel and said, please, please, the baby lost the thing. You know, it looks like just a baby. You know, that was funny. And you push it and they talk to you, you know. Ay, por favor, the perfect Spanish, you know. That was funny. They want a paper for the doll. All right. Tell me, one another Sunday one. All right. Anyone. Pedro, ¿tiene alguna canción que le gusta? No en inglés, no? En español. Okay. A Dios sea la gloria. Eh? That's a song. It's 449. A Dios sea la gloria. To God be the glory. A Dios sea la gloria. 449. You remember that tune in Spanish, all right? We want you to feel at home here. 449. He has done. Like what? Let's see, Shelley? He saved us. He rescued us. Gregory? I'm preparing you for the college class. That's what we do in college class. We ask questions, all right? That's how we study the chapter. Questions, questions, all right? What great thing that has Jesus done for you? Give you life. That's good. That's good. Pardon me? Eternal life, eternal life. Beautiful. You know, we know what we mean. It's just wonderful. Okay, let's have one or two more songs. Tricia?
344.
Raquel, and we encourage you to look in the Bible in the book of Revelation, which is the last book that God has written for us, or placed in the Bible for us. And actually, it is the last book written, because there is no other book written after the book of Revelation. Just to review the book of Revelation, chapter 1 and verse 1 tell us what the book is all about. The book is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. The book is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not anything else. It is just the revelation of the Lord Jesus. And it's a revelation of the disclosure of the last plans, remember, of God. If you read verse 3, the Bible says in the same chapter 1, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of his prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. In other words, after the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ, then the time is at hand. There is no other revelation from God that will come. There is no another Jesus. There is no another expression. This is it. This is the last event that God will bring into the world, and then the end will come. We study in chapter 1 the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ glorified. When you want to know the real Jesus, you read Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ church, chapter 2 and chapter 3. Remember, that give you an idea what the church is all about. It. And each time you want to have a review, a report of Bethel Baptist Church, just read those two chapters, and you will find us somewhere mixing between those churches, all right? Revelation chapter 4, the revelation of heavenly worship. Remember when the Father is worshiped. Revelation 5, the Lamb is declared, you are worthy of opening the books. Nobody else is worthy to open the books except the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the events, we move on and on and on, and we are on chapter 13. So I encourage you to move your Bible to the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. We studied the first 10 verses before I went into vacation 2 Sundays ago. And the topic of those 10 verses were the times before the seventh trumpet. And the first event is the rise of a political ruler. Remember, verse 1 says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. And so is going to be someone that is going to be able to handle the entire world in his power. When President Bush's father was president, he always pushed for the world. Anybody remember? New World Order. Thank you, Mary. New World Order. And I was so afraid of those words. I know President Bush, George Bush, doesn't mean anything like the book of Revelation or being Antichrist or anything like that. But it's very sound, very, very appealing. The New World Order, and where one leader will rule the world. So we study this political leader. We study that he comes from the people. We study that he has the ability and dominion that was given to him. He represents the fulfillment of prophecy of the book of Daniel. And he, in a dramatic way, he rises to power. And actually, the world looks like secure, because we have now one man. There is no war between people. He is, everybody obey him. And the only adversary he has is the Christians. And as you remember, verse 8, 9, and 10 talks about the adversaries of the world leader. And they are secure by God. They are sensitive to God and are to accept God's will for your life. It's a tough time to live in that moment, where your life is in jeopardy because of what you believe. Now, someone mentioned to me, and I don't know where, that I know. In my breakfast Friday morning, when we were the meeting of the nations, the elite meeting of the nations, we meet in the Greasy Spoon in Gilroy. Dr. McCormack made this statement: "I wish the Christians will have the convictions of the Muslims who are willing to die for their faith." I think it's something like that. R.I. Jackson, he say something to that effect. And it caught my attention as I listened to this gentleman speaking from different philosophies and backgrounds of life, enriched my heart to listen to them. And then I tell you, at the last moment of the world, there will be Christians willing to die for their faith. Because they were real Christians. When there is tribulation, like you studied today in Sunday school, when there is tribulation, the real Christians keep on witnessing. That's what we studied today, and that's where it's going to happen. Now we go from verse 11 all the way to the end of this chapter, and is the race. First, God raised a political ruler, and now God is going to allow the race of a false prophet. I want you to see first in verse 11 of Revelation chapter 13 the origin and description of these false prophets. Revelation chapter 13 verse 11. I read the verse and then I break the verse in little parts and we see what I mean. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." So now we're going to break that in little pieces and find out what that really means. First of all, the description of the false prophet is this: comes out of the earth. Or, "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth," or "among the people" will be a good translation, "among the people of the earth." So this also false prophet is not a false prophet, is an angel, a devil, or whatever. No, it's another individual, another man, selected from mankind. And look at the distinction: appears to be a lamb, or in other words, like Christ. "I beheld another beast coming up of the earth," or among the people of the earth, "and he had two horns like a lamb. And so, who is the lamb in our life? We remember by heart, John chapter 1 verse 29. John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What is he talking about? Well, he's talking about Jesus. Jesus said in John 10, "I am the Lamb." And so therefore, the false prophet is a real imitation of Christ Jesus. That is someone like Christ Jesus. Now, the Bible don't stop there. They say he had two horns like a lamb and a speak as a dragon. So a speak as a dragon is opposite to Christ. If you put one hand here and you go with me to Ezekiel in the Old Testament, in chapter 29 of the book of Ezekiel, and in verse 3, we get an idea what speaking like a dragon really is. Chapter 29 in verse 3 of the book of Ezekiel. "Speak and say, thus said the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, kings of Egypt, a great dragon that lie in the midst of his rivers, which has said, my river is my own, and I have made it for myself." In other words, dragon in the Bible is a picture of someone with power against those who are in the kingdom of God. And going back to Revelation 13, the Bible says that he is spake as a dragon. In other words, he looks like Christ, but when he speaks, he speaks against Christ. It's like someone that perhaps you are associated and said, "I'm a Christian," and you live a little bit with that person, and you wonder if the person is a Christian or not for the thing that he or she does. And so, therefore, this is what it is. The origin and description of the false prophets is there. Now, I want you to look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 to 15. The scripture gives us some awareness of things really coming up in that way. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to start reading from verse 13. The Apostle Paul gives us some advice, some kind of waking up for all of us. Look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing, and no marvel, verse 14, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. And then in verse 15 says, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of the righteousness, whose end shall be according to their own work. In other words, the Bible give you an idea that there will be people saying, oh, yes, I'm a believer. Oh, yes, I'm a Christian. And really, they're a devil. And so going back to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, the Bible said they are at the last moments, at the moments of when God is going to finishing up the world. And I cannot tell you, or at least I don't know the timing. How long is this? But at least I want to tell you that there will be a false prophet coming among men that appears to be a nice Christian leader. And when he talks, then you Christians will know that he is not a Christian leader. And that we Christians has been aware by the scripture about this fellow. Now, what is his objective? That God allow this man, this false prophet, to be raised. Revelation chapter 13, verse 12, reveals the objective of this fellow. I read the verse, and then we comment about it. And he is the false prophet, exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wounds was healed. Now, there are only one objective from this false prophet: to secure the loyalty and allegiance of the world to the Antichrist. And he will be very influential. Look at here in verse 12 said, and cause the earth and then which dwell therein to worship. Cause means they will have the influence. So I could be a man in the Congress of some nation, could be a president of a nation, could be a king of a nation, but it has to be somebody in a high power with high esteem. And then the purpose why he raises to power is that we will worship this false Antichrist that has been risen in this particular moment. So these are the events that are going to happen at the very end, on the last moments after all the trumpets have been sound. Now, verses 13 to 17 describe the means of securing loyalty as is described in the Bible. In other words, he gives you the purpose. I want the world to worship the Antichrist. And now he's going to tell you what means he's going to use in order to do that. And so we can look on it and see. Verse 13, through the imitations of signs and wonders. Look at verse 13. And he does great wonders. The word wonders can be translated signs. And he does great signs so that he made fire come down from heaven on the earth of the sight of man. The imitation of that. Why an imitation? Because there is a man in the Bible that really brought fire from heaven. If you put one hand in Revelation and go back to me to the Old Testament, to the book of Second Kings, you find in 2 Kings chapter 1 and in verse 10, an event, this was not a fake. This was a real wonders. Chapter 1 in verse 10, Elijah was the man involved in 2 Kings. And the Bible said, and Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. So fire from heaven was called by this man of God, a sentencing the man that was against God. So now, as you go back to Revelation 13 and verse 13, you see that his mean of securing loyalty is that he's going to imitate the people of God in the Old Testament, and he's going to call fire from heaven, and fire will come in. No sending by God, but by Satan. And people say, wow, this is really a powerful man, an imitation of God's power. Then verse 14, his means of securing loyalty is through the imitation of religion. Verse 14, and deceive them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles, signs, which he has a power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image of the beast, which had a wound by a sword and did live. In other words, there is an imitation of religion. Now you need to have an image. And I want you to look in 1 Corinthians, put one hand in Revelation, and go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in relation to that. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8 in verse 4. And look what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 in verse 4. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. In other words, an idol is no God. An idol is no God. And the Bible reveals that over and over in the book of Jeremiah 10, for example, the people make a piece of wood, and they adorn the wood, and they worship the wood. And some people who do that, I ask them why, and they say, well, that helps you to worship God. It really doesn't help you. The only thing that helps you is the scripture. But this is the kind of thing that these false prophet will use. He will use the ability of trying to attach some imaging to the power of God. I'm against, there is a track, a gospel track with coloring stories. And I'm against that because give you idea that you are looking into pictures rather than looking into the Word of God in order to know the truth. Okay? It's okay for children to have an idea through pictures. That's the way that the world really started. If you know Chaldean, for example, if you want to go up the hill in Chaldean, the word that you write is a line up and a fish going up. That is, I'm going up. Okay? So the first words the people spoke were pictures until word was discovered. So this man have the ability to have the imitation of religion. We already have religions with a lot of false imaging, but this one will be a super one. Now, verse 15 revealed to us through the imitation of supernatural power. Look at verse 15. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. In other words, Revelation chapter 13, 15 said these false prophets will enhance the image of that that need to be worshipped and get some words on it. Now, the book of 2 Thessalonians, if you're in Revelation, you go just a little bit back in your New Testament, and you find 2 Thessalonians after Titus and Timothy going back in the book, you find 2 Thessalonians. You know chapter 2, speak strongly about the coming of the Lord. And in chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verses 10 and 11 give you an idea of what is taking place. The Bible said, therefore I endure all things. Oh, excuse me. I'm reading 2 Timothy. No wonder I thought it was wrong. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11. And with all the deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions, that they should believe a lie. Now, I was raised in South America, where these stories are already there. But I can believe papers in the United States of America, when they said that right here in the Bay Area, a virgin was crying because she wants a property. And people were getting by mass into the area and see the virgin crying blood. Maybe it was tomato juice, ketchup that was coming out of her eyes. And she was, all right, she wants this property. She wants this property. So in South America, then the government will take the property and give it to the church. In America, you have to come out with the money to buy the property. Thank God. But the people then of the church will go to the rich people and say, you have to give us the money because the virgin is crying and is doing this and the other. And it's just exactly what happened here in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15, have power to give life unto the image of the beast, and the image of the beast should both speak. In other words, there will be some weird things happening. There already is there. In America, you are protected from this environment, but it's already there. You go to Brazil and the highways, every so much, you have to stop and talk to the virgin who is there in the highway and put money in the priest in the back, go and get it back. You know, it seems like that. They already developed, but this one is a giant thing. The entire world is going to see that imitation and so on. So his means of security and loyalty, imitation of signs and wonders, imitations of religion, imitation of supernatural power. And then verse 16 and 17 tells me that it is through economic control of the world. Look at verse 16. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead, verse 17 now, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. In other words, they will have economic control. When Franco was in control of Spain, no Spanish people who were believers, called evangelicals, can buy in certain stores food. It was illegal to sell them. And in your documentation, you have a mark that you were not a Catholic, and therefore you cannot buy food, neither be buried in the regular cemeteries. In my time when I was a child, I think the whole thing changed when I was 15 or 16, but it was the same thing in Argentina. And you cannot be buried in the regular cemeteries because you are not a Catholic. You have no idea of what Satan is able to do in the world. And so imagine this. He will have an absolute control. And each time a new thing in computer is coming up, I wonder which one is going to be used by these giant scions one day at the end of the world to mark those who are believers and those who are not believers. But this prophet is endorsing the Antichrist and is making the Antichrist big and powerful and needs to control the entire world. Now, verse 18 gives us his identification. In verse 18 in Revelation 13, we read, here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, and his number is 666, which means 666. Now, he's recognizable. He is a man. You see that? He's a man. Underline that word, is a man. We do not worship a man. We worship God. See? So therefore, he's recognizable. They cannot deceive believers. You will not follow a man. You will follow God, but not a man. If you believe the Bible is the word of God, you will not follow a man who said, do what I said. You will follow a man who said, do what the word of God said. And that makes a difference, you know. When John the Baptist was introduced, he was a holy man of God. But the Bible carefully says there was a man, in John 1:6, there was a man that came from God. Even a preacher who preaches good and who teaches well is just a man that came from God. You don't worship a preacher. You don't follow a man. You follow God. Now, Paul has said twice in the Bible, follow me. And then he said, as I follow Christ. So if this pastor teaches the scripture, you follow. If this pastor does not teach the scripture, you raise your hand and say, wait a minute, pastor, that is not in the scripture. That is your safety. If I take the scripture from you, what happened? You have no way to know. And see, and so that's what the Bible said here in Revelation chapter 13 in verse 18. Here is wisdom. Here is wisdom. Class, Christians, here it is. First of all, he's a man. Wow. When a man raises a follow me. Remember that guy from Korea? I met him in New York. The guy from Korea, short guy. What is it? Yeah. The guy said that he was Christ. So, unfortunately for him, he had some buckets, some young people with buckets asking for offerings. And I was in a nice restaurant on the road to New York. And he came in and people would drop $10, $15. And I said, son, what is this? He said, oh, this is for God. Which God? He said, it's upside. So we're sending in. I said, I never met God. So here come the guy, came in. And so I greet him, asked him to sit and talk to him. And we were, Mr. Campy was there and two or three more people. And I say, are you God? He said, no, sir, I'm Christ. Oh, you are Christ. That's fascinating. And we have our Bibles because, you know, if you ever met Mr. Campbell, you had to keep your Bible all the time with you. He's talking about the scripture all the time. So I said, well, we have our Bibles here. Oh, no, no. This, I'm writing the things. And this moment, this table should give $1,000, he said. And I thought he was joking. I said, this guy must be drunk, joking or something. He want to let me know that Korea is in the hands of God because of him. He is Christ. Now, how do we know he's wrong? Because he's a man. And Christ was a man and he's in heaven as God. See, that's why the Bible say here, let him that have understanding count the number of the beast, for there's a number of a man. It's a man, all right? And then, because he's a man, he's limited. The Bible give you a number 666, which is two-thirds of any entire number ending in 9. But, that's mathematical equation, and I can play with that as you can be. I can make an equation after the other. I can go into squares and divide it and put it in, and show you great things on numbers, but that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said here, it is just a man. It is just a man. And so, therefore, chapter 13 is preparing the people that will live at that time. I'll be dead by that time. But the people that will live at that time, that all of these events will happen, but don't panic. It's just a man. And when I teach chapter 14, you saw it over there, Revelation 14, is the victory of the Lamb is assured. Chapter 14 is talking about the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ over this event. And we're going to study, God willing, the coming Sunday, the victory of Christ over the event that happened in chapter 13. Well, today was not a good day for us. We'd have a depressing chapter in the morning, and then we have a depressing event in the evening, but we have hope. Why do we have hope? Because we are Christians. I keep saying, you come to this church, you will have hope for the future and forgiveness for the past. That's what God is. And even though the events can be tough, now if you're in Christ, you would have victory. The things can get rough, but you would have victory. So are we going to panic? No. We're going to be I like the word in verse 18. Here is wisdom. Don't ask anybody. Don't ask any preacher. Don't read any commentary. Look in the scripture. Here's wisdom. This guy is just a man. We trust God. So when somebody is trying to tell you, I tell you, if you don't believe what I said, you're wrong. Then you know the guy is wrong. Even I can be wrong, but I listen to you in the scripture. And you can exhort me. And I, who was in the Bible a man who was, the Bible said he was an eloquent speaker. And one woman, you know, people who are macho, I use always that verse to put them ashamed. This guy knew, he was rolling. And one woman had to teach him that Jesus had rose again. Who was the man? Apollos. The Bible said he was an eloquent speaker. And who was the woman? With P. Priscilla. Priscilla, Romans chapter 1. Priscilla took, Romans chapter 16. Priscilla took it home. And Priscilla said, darling, here's what it is. Jesus rose again. And the Bible said, after that, Apollos was a mighty man preaching the word of God. So, ladies, never stop speaking to somebody about the word of God respectfully and kindly. So, victory is assured when we have the Bible. We close the Bible, we put the Bible away. You are at the mercy of what? Man's opinion. Man's opinion. It is a shame that in the paper today, they say 40 churches, Mercury, from, you receive the Mercury, brother, Plica? The Mercury, from San Jose said 40 churches endorse the theory that evolution and religion, they are equal. Well, I just have head, a lot of things in the head that I will put jot down maybe tonight. But, see, it's just a man idea. And I read the whole article and there is no one word about the scripture. How evolution and scripture proves that creationism and evolution are one. See, that's what we're going to get more and more. More and more. Things that looks like Christ. Remember what? They have the two horns. It looks like a lamb. But when they speak like a dragon. Then you know they are not of Christ. Thank God for the scripture. Thank God for the scripture. They give us wisdom. And I don't going to live in that time, and I don't think you're going to be alive at that time, because it's way ahead. But when that time happens, there will be faithful preachers making aware the believers that these things are so. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight, wisdom in the scripture. And thee, there is wisdom in thy word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. All right.